Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir and psychic medium Sherry. The show is about to begin.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Paranormal Horizons. I'm Sherry, psychic medium Sherry, and it's been a while. Jason's going to be sitting out tonight. He's not feeling too good, so I'm running the board by myself, but I have a wonderful guest, a great colleague and a friend, and she's well renowned for what she does. She's a dreamy seer, psychic medium, radio. And I want to welcome you guys. I'm going to welcome June Lundgren. Hey, June, how are you?
I'm doing good, you know, just some busy times lately.
Yeah, it sounds like we were just talking before the show. It sounds like you're just been, you're kind of spent, aren't you?
Yeah. There's a lot of negative entities running around. And then, of course, working as a nurse, everything gets crazy.
Wow. So let me ask you, why, and this is an opening statement, why do you feel that there's a lot of negative entities? Do you feel it's more so now than it was maybe a year, 2 years pre-pandemic, or what's your thought?
Yeah, there's more of it now, you know, pre-pandemic it wasn't that bad. It was starting to get bad, but the minute this pandemic thing started, it really ramped itself up. It's almost like the negative entities are desperate, you know, they're trying to do what they can to get as many, you know, cuts into people as they possibly can. It's just, I'm busy all the time because of that.
Oh, my God. Crazy. I'm going to tell people, if you have any questions for June or I, you're welcome to call in. We have a listener's welcome to call in at the number at 1-215-383-3999. Again, 1-215-383-3999. Anybody is welcome to call in with any questions or just share think about the paranormal or whatever. So, yes, we'd be happy to welcome any caller. So, what are you doing? You've just been doing a lot of research, and you're doing a lot of dark stuff, entity removal.
Yeah, it's just usually before this, you know, I'd get like 10, 15 a month, and now it's like, you know, 25, 30 a month. It just keeps coming.
Are people it's opening just, themselves to the dark side, or what do you think is going on? Why is this increase?
I don't think it's necessarily a case of people opening themselves up. I think it's more of a case of there's so much fear, so much depression, so much anxiety, worry over, you know, what people call a pandemic. And so, you've got all this negative energy floating around, and it's attracting these things because they know that people are kind of in a weakened state because of that.
Wow, boy. How can you prevent things like that? What do you suggest to our
I think some of the best thing is to, you know, is to not watch the news when it comes to, you know, they're always, you know, blowing out of proportion, the COVID stuff, and people are, you know, people watch it and they get upset and they start to worry and they start to be fearful. And, you know, if you don't do that, keep yourself busy. you know, doing things, you know, take up a hobby or whatever, things that you enjoy doing, keep your mind off of it, and try not to stress too much.
Well, I'll tell you, that's really true, because, you know, when you turn on the news, the first thing they tell you is, you know, how many cases are going up, and you need to have your stuff. And, you know, I heard from a couple that I know personally that let go and let fly with the shots, or they're going to take the test. And one particular person took the COVID test and got an infection from the cotton swab.
Yeah, I've been in medicine for 46 years. I've seen things come and go, and I don't know what makes this so special, because really, SARS that came out in 2003, devastated this. Just, you know, devastated. You know, it came from China, it went to Canada and devastated Canada, then it came to the United States. And back then we didn't wear masks or anything like that, you know, and worked in the healthcare, and I never got sick, but it affected a lot of people. It's just a matter of, you know, taking precautions. If people take precautions, you know, then, you know, they won't have the spread. It's kind of like influenza. If you do, you know, take precautions, don't get around people that are sick, you know, then you're going to, you know, you're not going to catch it. But the problem is, you know, people don't do that. They go out there and they mingle, and somebody can be sick and not even know it, because they may have really light symptoms or no symptoms at all and still have it. So that makes it difficult.
So what about, are you recommending, and this is your take as a nurse for over 40 years, or 40, almost 40 years, do you feel it's okay to go to the grocery store as long as you wear a mask and try to safe distance? What's your take on that?
Well, you know, it's off the record from being a nurse. It's the masks that people are wearing are not going to stop it. I mean, you know, everyone is out there wearing the needed mask. I think it's an N91 or whatever. So none of the other things that they're wearing, especially, you know, people get the disposable hospital masks and stuff like that. It says right on the bottom of the box, not effective against COVID. But people just believe that. I think a lot of it is psychological. They figure, you know, if they're wearing something, then they're protected. But that's not always true.
And just like the shot, just because you have the shot. And I'm looking at, you know, being the Libra in me, that I like to look at the balance on both sides, and being the fact that, you know, yes, it does maybe add a layer of protection, but it doesn't absolve from getting COVID, doesn't it?
No, not really, because, you know, I've recently in the last month and a half, we've seen more patients that have already had the shot and are getting COVID anyway. So there you go.
Wow. So do you believe in getting the N95s, or do you suggest distancing yourself? You know, if you have to go to the store, you got to go to the store, but some people will go and park somewhere and have their groceries delivered in their car.
Right,
you know,
if they're concerned about it, I would just, like, order it and then go and pick it up, you know, have them. Like Fred Meyers has it in Safeway, where they'll, you know, curbside delivery, so to speak. You know, you can do it that way if you're concerned about it, especially if you have health issues like, you know, COPD, heart, asthma, things like that, that are, you know, comorbidities, chronic conditions. It's best not to take the chance.
Right. That makes sense. It's just all about common sense. And me being in Chinese medicine, so it's, for me, I think that, you know, I can go both ways, but I feel that's number one, trying to keep your immunity. Do what you can to be as healthy as possible. That's the first line of defense.
Yeah, exactly. You have to, you know, you have to be taking care of yourself. You just can't, you know, let yourself go and let your immune system run down to nothing. You really have to take care of yourself and watch what you're doing and eat healthier, and, you know, if you smoke, quit smoking. If you vape, quit vaping. I'm just, you know, personally, you know, my view from a personal point of view is I would rather not have the shot at all. I don't get shots, so, and I don't get sick. But, you know, there's a lot of people out, and I don't have health issues, though. There's a lot of people out there with health conditions the immunization because of that. You know, if they have any kind of chronic health condition, it's better to get it. We've started giving out the flu shots as well at work, and, you know, I don't know. I don't get the flu shot, so I never have. So not in 46 years in the business, but, you know, there are those that, like I said, if you have chronic conditions, I would say yes, it's good to get it.
Yeah, you got to have that balance. But anyway, I wanted to tell everybody that, you know, you were on Ghost Adventures. I want to talk about this. I don't know if we talked about last time you were on air, but we talked about what I want to talk about tonight. Now, let me ask you, what was the reason why did Zach Bagan producers got a hold of you? What was the condition? What was the problem? And you know, you could tell people that it's about Ghost Adventures, but you were called upon a case. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. What happened was we had the Paranormal Pub. It's a once a month get together, and sometimes we do places, you know, different places do investigations and stuff. So a group of us were down at Astoria, Oregon, and we were doing, you know, we decided to do a couple of investigations, one at the Commodore Hotel, one at the Norblad Hotel. And when we were there, my friend Aaron and his wife had just been in to the Norblad, the basement of the Norblad, and they had come out, and I was just coming down to go to meet them, and he had just been attacked by a demon, and so I went down and removed the demon and cleared it out, and someone was looking for Jeff Ballinger was looking for people that had been doing investigations recently there and that sort of thing, and he got a hold of Aaron, my friend Aaron, and he told them, well, you know, this is what happened, and so they wanted to have me on the show. They called, Jeff Ballinger called me, and he said, you know, would you be willing, and we were talking about what was going on there, and then because we were talking about it, the demon came through the phone and started growling, and he's like, what is that? I said, oh, nothing, just a demon. I said, continue. Because they do that sometimes, they'll try to interfere. So we ended up going down to the Norblad. It was in April 2018, and Zach was there and the other group, and Billy Tully was my camera person, and we were talking and stuff like that, and they had interviewed me out front of the hotel, and he wanted to know what a demon seer was, and I told him, and he's like, well, you know, are my people going to be safe here? Because he's very concerned for his staff and the people that are involved in the show. And I'm like, yeah, as long as I'm there, they'll be fine. But one of the first things they told me is, we don't want you to take out any demons. And I'm like, you know, because I knew the minute after I talked to Jeff Ballinger, you know, I was contacted by the old demon, and he said, you know, I have a message for him, for Zach. And I'm like, oh, great. What do you want? And he's like, no. He says, I'm going to be there. And I'm like, okay, fine, whatever you want. And I told Zach, I said, you remember the demon that took your vision in the demon house? I said, this is the same demon. I said, you didn't listen then, so he wants to make sure you listen this time. He's like, what does he want? And I told him, I said, I don't know yet until I talk to him. So we went down into the basement of the Norblad where the demon was waiting, and I actually chained the demon to a corner, the far corner of the basement. And So he gave me a message to give to Zach, and he told him, you know, you better stop what you're doing, stop provoking, stop, you know, ridiculing us, the demons. And Zach said, well, I want to see what you see, because I had told him earlier that, you know, I had a friend who wanted to see what I see, and he was not happy after that, seeing what I see, because I see demons in their true form. And it's hard for humans to deal with that, because most people, I would say 99.9% of people, see demons as they wish to be perceived. They can manipulate your mind and make you see them as they want to be seen instead of their true form. But he insisted, so I said, hold my hand, you'll see them. So he held my hand, and it lasted for like less than a minute, because you know, after he told me afterwards, he says, first it felt like, first I saw a beautiful white light and it felt really peaceful. He said, and then the curtain raised and I saw it over in the corner. And that's when, you know, he jerked his hand out of mine, and because the demon went straight for his back, which is his weakest point. And I told him, I said, you know, this is what he wants. This is his message. And you better heed it, because if you don't, you know, you'll pay the price for it. And that was a sum total of it. And we were in a separate area, and Billy was my cameraman. He says he heard something in his ear, high-pitched frequency in one ear and like a growling. He's like, what the hell was that? And I said, well, you know, that's how you humans hear demons. I said, I hear them speak. You hear that. And so once Zach, you know, saw what I saw, he let go of my hand, and he just literally ran out of the hotel and took off in a car, you know, and poor Aaron was trying to catch up with him, but it didn't work so well. So he called Billy, and he said, I don't think she knows what she's doing, you know, I don't think she knows what she's messing with. And he told him, he said, dude, I told you. Dude, she told me, you know, you're going to see what she sees. You're going to hear what she hears. I said, you better get back here and let her take the sight away from you. So he finally came back, and I took it away. And I'm sure he had nightmares for a while after that. But, you know,
wow.
That's the way it is. Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, you got to be careful. Oh, my goodness. Wow. That's crazy. We have a call.
Yeah.
Do you want to? Caller in, would you like to accept that? You want me to accept the caller?
Yeah, sure, you can do whatever.
Okay, let's see what happens here. Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on, guys.
Hello.
Okay, welcome to Horizons. Where are you calling from?
New York.
Okay.
Thank you for taking my call. I was wondering if you saw any demon spirits in me or in my apartment. I've done lots of clearings on myself and the apartment, and I really don't know what's happening.
Yeah, it's not in your apartment itself, not physically in your apartment, but it is in the building. And it's kind of wanders from place to place.
Wow.
Trying to scare people. It'll show up in one apartment, and it'll go away for a while, and then another one. It's making the rounds, literally.
Oh, my God. I had no idea it even worked that way.
Oh, yeah. It can do whatever it wants. And, you know, the more the merrier, you know, if it can scare more people, because it feeds off of the fear. The fear, the worry.
Yeah, I see. It's probably been having a field day lately. Okay. So do you see, do I have any in my body, my aura, whatever it is, besides?
No, not in yours, no.
Good. Okay, that's good to know. Is there anything to do to keep this demon from coming here?
If you could get some holy water, and, you know, put the sign of the cross over all the doors and windows and ask in God's name that nothing negative be allowed to pass through the through this opening, through this door or this window.
Okay. Where would I get holy water? Sorry.
You could go to a local church. Usually the Catholic Church will have it. They just have it. They'll just give it to you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, just take a small container and ask them if they would fill it with holy water.
Okay. Check that out. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you for calling in. I hope it gets resolved here.
Yes, thank you. Many blessings to you both. It's a good show.
Yeah. Thank you.
Welcome.
So, anyway, yeah, just... So I got a question. So, June, when you say you see it in its truest form, you know, most people think, and this is my vision too, because I don't go on the dark side, as you know, but most people think of horns, you know, eyes, glowing eyes, horns,
right,
and
right. Half toad, half man type of thing, yeah. No, demons do not truly look like that. This is something that's been, you know, reproduced in man, but demons are actually look a lot like archangels. They're 7 feet tall. They have a 12-foot wingspan, but they're black, and their face, what passes for a face, is just really subdued features. There's no definite nose. There's no definite mouth. There's only like a vague imprint, and what passes for hair is not really hair. It's kind of like spiky, almost like punk rocker spiky, but not that long. And their eyes are what does it. The eyes of an old demon are yellow. They're kind of a gold color. And it hurts most people to look into their eyes, because when you look into their eyes, you see all the evil, all the pain, all the suffering, all the inhumanity that ever will be, ever was. In their eyes, it cuts right through you. And it's the same with the lesser demons, only they have red eyes. They do this, it's, you know, to look at them is just look at every atrocity, every evil that you can imagine and beyond.
Wow, that's crazy. Wow.
But I've been seeing them that way since I was 5.
Well, you definitely have the gift. I know that for a fact. So, and I really, you do a really good job. What is it for the listeners out there? What is the difference between the demon entity and or attachment? So maybe that's a good question that you can, you know.
A demon attachment is one that is just decided it's going to be your best friend and it's going to attach to you 24/7. It shadows you. It's constantly with you, causing problems. A possession is when it actually goes inside your body and takes control. Sometimes you have the partial possession. Sometimes it's, you know, just influence. But most of the time, it's not a possession. That's not as prevalent as people have a tendency to think it is. Most of the time, it's just an attachment where they're with you constantly. You're kind of like attached at the hip, and they start making your life go into hell in a handbasket. Your finances go down the tube. Your health starts suffering. Your physical, mental, emotional health starts suffering. If there's no negativity between husband and wife, or there's no problems there, the negative entities will create problems so that there's fighting, constant fighting. There's a lot of, you know, an upsurge in anger and frustration and violence, and they try to isolate the individual that they're trying to attach themselves to by getting rid of their support system, you know, their husband, their wife, you know, anybody that's supporting them, including, you know, somebody from the church, things like that. They want to do that, and then they're always, you know, whispering in your ear, so to speak, or in your head, you know, you'll never get rid of us, we're going to kill you, you know, nobody can help you. You know, they use this litany all the time to try to wear you down, to where you, you know, you think that there's, you stop trying to get help because you feel that nobody will help you because that's what they're saying. They're kind of beating it into your brain, trying to brainwash you and tell you, you know, you'll never get rid of them. You know, I'm going to kill your wife or your husband or your animals, you know, or your children. Anything that elicits fear and makes you, you know, behave yourself and do what they want you to do.
That's crazy. Wow. That's awful. Can the person take care of it themselves, or do they need somebody like you to go and get rid of it?
Well, you can, you know, there are things you can do to, like, you know, stave them off, you know, like, you know, invoking the name Jesus Christ or God or, you know, whatever deity you believe in, whether it's Buddha, you know, or whoever it is. You know, it's the fact that you have that great faith in that deity that helps because, you know, in their world, in the dark world as well as the light world, thought becomes reality. And it is the intention behind the thought that gives it power, that gives it life itself. And so if your intention is, you know, to get rid of the demon or to protect yourself against the demon, then, and you believe that with all your heart, then that will help to stave them off. After, you know, sometimes they may get weary of that and leave and go find somebody else. But a lot of times they won't. They'll just stick around. And so you either have to get somebody from the church or a deliverance minister or someone who specializes in removing demons. You know, just a lot of people think, first thing they think of is a demonologist. Well, not really, because a demonologist is someone who studies demons, but most demonologists that I've ever met have never even met a demon.
Really?
Never even had an encounter with a demon. Yeah. That's the difference, where you'll get these people that say, you know, well, I'm an occult specialist, you know, I specialize in this, specialize in that, and then they start talking about demons, and I'm like, have you ever met one? Have you ever had any dealings with one? And 99.9% of the time, the answer is no. But I've read all about them. I've studied it. I'm like, yeah, whatever.
So, when you go on a paranormal investigation, you kind of open yourself to that kind of thing. It's part of the, I don't know, it's part of the arena. Is that correct?
Some people, you know, I've often thought it's kind of crazy, but some people actually want to summon a demon. And it's usually just the case of I want to see if I can do it, or I want to have power over the demon, or, you know, a cheap thrill, you know, that sort of thing. It's kind of like, you know, being in a gang and shooting someone to prove that you have, you know, that you have the big guts to do it. But in the end, you know, people think that they can control the demon, but they can't control the demon. The demon will play along with you when it suits it for a short period of time, and then it'll turn on you. And once it turns on you, then you're the one calling me and saying, I need help. It's like, you know, I had somebody ask me if I would show them how to summon a demon. I'm like, are you out of your mind? I get rid of them. I don't bring them into the world. Thank you very much.
Why?
I don't get that.
Yeah, I don't get that at all. What was that all about? That's
insane. I got called in on a case up in Vancouver, Washington, where, you know, young woman said, you know, the demon, there was a demon and it was attacking her children and stuff like that. And the minute I talked to her, I knew that she was the one who summoned it. It was purely by accident, and she didn't even know how she did it. But still, I said, you summoned this thing and it's attacking your children? I said, you did that. I said, you summoned it. I said, this is all your fault. I said, I will remove it. But that I will remove it. But you need to leave well enough alone. And then I got a text like from her like a month later asking me to help her figure out how she summoned the demon. I'm like, no. Sorry, not happening.
Yeah, some people cry wolf and they'll go back into the same thing that got them in hot water in the first place or don't want to do nothing about it, right?
Right. I just don't, as far as I'm concerned, no. I had one, I did Clyde Lewis's show back in 2018 the first time, and I got a call from somebody who wanted to meet to discuss, you know, discuss the demon, and it's like, so I figured, yeah, we're going to meet in public because there's something wrong here. So we met for coffee, and I'm like, she's sitting across from me, and the demon's right next to her, and is telling me all about how she summoned it and how she wants to, you know, she wants to enslave human souls, and he was going to help her. And I'm like, really? I told her, I said, you summoned this demon. She's like, no, I didn't. I said, yeah, you did. I said, he's standing right here, and he's telling me that. I said, you deserve each other. Deal with it. I'm not going to deal with it.
That's crazy.
People like that. It is. I don't understand.
Do they actually really summon those dark things like that into their life or the way their habits are and what they do in their life to, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Seriously?
They do that. I don't get it. I mean, why would you want that? Well, they want power. You know, they want power. They want to say, you know, look what I did. You know, I can do this, blah, blah, blah. But they don't realize it'll turn on them in the end. It always does. And then you get people like, I have a friend that lives in Chicago, and he has a lot of workers that are Hispanic. And one of them where the daughter of one of them was her son had married a woman whose mother was kind of a witch doctor type of thing. She had summoned a demon, and she was attaching the demon to the son to make him do what she wanted him to do and give her access to the grandson. And she told her mother about it, and I told her, I said, so give me a picture of your daughter. So I said, and I'll take care of it. So she sent me a text with a picture of the daughter in it. Once I get the picture of the daughter, I make connection with the daughter-in-law and then her mother. And then all I simply did was take the demon and turn it on her. See how she liked it.
Wow. That's the kind of stuff you don't want to mess with.
No, you don't want to mess with them. I told the demon, I said, you make her life a living hell for a little while, or I kill you. Take your pick. So it decided to make the woman's life a living hell for a little while.
That's crazy.
But, you know, you got to teach him a lesson, you know, because otherwise they just keep doing that all the time. They'll do it to other people.
Yeah. That's true.
And it wasn't the first time that she had done this, so, you know. Wasn't her first rodeo.
That's crazy. Oh. Jim, do you remember, I think you came on a case that already started. I was helping with a documentary with Bishop Bout. It was in Hillsboro, and he was either United or American Airlines pilot. You came in afterwards. You were consulted afterwards, and I seen that there was one particular main guy, the demon, and he had like 3 millions. And you came in. You didn't know anything about it, and I think we talked about it afterwards. And I kind of, you know, not to put it this way, but They didn't get rid of it. He didn't get rid of it. But I remember you came on the case. You didn't even know anything about it, and we talked about it. But right on. You and I were on the same. Do you think that?
Oh, yeah.
Do you feel that thing is gone, or do you feel that it's still there?
No, it's gone.
Okay.
It's gone. The problem with some people think that if you remove a demon from a person, that's it. End of story, that's the way it is. But it's not always that easy. You have to remove the demon. And then you have to do a cleansing on the individual and anyone else within the circle that's had, you know, contact. Because whenever you have, you have an attachment or you have one near you or someone you've been with has one, there's always negative residual energy within the individual. Not only the individual, but like if it's a home or the land, anything that's porous will absorb the energy, the negative energy. So you have to do like a massive white light cleansing. Otherwise, you know, it will attract more.
So is burning sage help? Burning sage? That's the go-to for people.
Yeah, well, sage don't do it. Sage pisses the demon off. You know, people tell me, well, I think I have a demon in the house. You know, I saged and it got worse. And I'm like, yeah. I mean, think about that. Saging means you know the demon's there and you're trying to get rid of it. And that really pisses them off. Sage doesn't do anything but piss them off.
Wow.
You know, people think, oh, the use of crystals will get rid of them. No, sorry, that will not. All crystals do is amplify the energy, whether it's good energy or bad energy. It'll amplify it. You know, it's there's so many myths out there, it's ridiculous, you know. Let's use some brake dust and put it across your door and no demons will come in. I'm like, really? I'd like to try that. Thanks. No, there's very few things that will work to repel a demon, you know, and to remove it altogether. If it doesn't leave on its own, then you're just going to have to remove it. You know, you can go to a deliverance minister, and you can a lot of prayer and invoking Michael or one of the other archangels. But it takes quite some time to do it. It can take, I mean, you know, the people, you know, the priests, you know, in January 25th issue 2018 of Newsweek magazine, the Vatican came out and said, listen, we are training more exorcists than ever before in our history. You know, the Vatican doesn't say boo if it has a mouthful, you know, but for them to come out and say that, that says how bad it is. And it's only increasing. And I asked Michael one time, I said, why does it take these priests so long to remove a demon? You know, if it's a possession case, I don't get it. I said, it doesn't take me that long. What the heck? And he says, well, the problem is, if you have any doubt in what you're doing and how you're doing it, doubt in yourself, or a doubt saying like, oh, I don't know if this is going to work or not, and or any doubt in your faith and God, you're going to be doing it for years. You're going to be trying to remove it for years because any one of those things is a weakness. And the demons know that weakness. They reach right in there and they say, oh, well, he doesn't believe he can do it anyway, so, you know, no problem here. And so it takes them, you know, it can even take them years to do the removal. With me, it doesn't take that long. I think the longest it's ever taken, I spent 3 hours one time because the woman had 11 entities within her. She had a bad possession case with 11 entities. And that's the longest it's ever taken. Usually it only takes a few minutes.
Wow. Did you have to see her personally, or were you able to do it remotely?
Yeah, no, I did her personally. She was local, and she was desperate. And so we got down to the last entity, and I looked into its mind, and I found out that it had been given an assignment for Lucifer you know, to do for Lucifer, and he just didn't bother to do it. It just blew him off and moved on. So it was in hiding. And I told it, I said, if you truly want to go home to the light, I said, I can ask Jesus to come for you if you truly want to go home, if you want to change. He says, I can go home. I said, yeah. I said, so my friends, I had two friends with me. One's an ordained minister, and the other one is a friend that's in my group. And I said, Jesus, come forth. And both of them parted when, as this huge arm and hand came out, bathed in white light, came out towards the woman. And the entity looked like it was ready to go, you know, ready to take his hand. And then it said, no, 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 you're lying, you're lying. And then it rejected him. And so Jesus withdrew his hand. And I said, okay. I said, if you don't want that, that's it. And I said, Lucifer, come forth. And this dark entity appeared at the end of the hallway leading to where we were. My two friends are like, you know, kind of freaking out about it because they're seeing this. But what they saw was a dark figure in a fedora, double-breasted suit, and spats. You know, that's the image that Lucifer projected into their mind for them to see. And they told me later that they couldn't look into his face because it hurt them. And he came down and he said, you know, demon. He said the name of the demon. He said, you're coming with me. And the demon said, no, I'm not leaving. And you can't make me. So Lucifer looked at me and he said, I know you don't want me to harm the human, so I'll be back for it later. And he turned around and walked back down the hallway and disappeared. And we all went home later, and about 3 a.m., everybody woke up at the same time and heard Lucifer say, it's done. And I called her the next day, and she was so much better. And I told her, I said, get counseling. You have PTSD. After 20 years of having these things, yeah, get counseling. Last time I knew, she was deep in counseling, so that's good.
Wow. Was she one of your most challenging cases, or what were, if you had any challenges?
Yeah,
cases?
She's the one that had the most. You know, I've done 3 or 4 other possession cases, but she was the one with the most. She had the most entities in her. So she was the biggest one. Most of
wow.
them only have a couple of entities or one or two, that type of thing.
I think I want to stay away from those kind of people.
Yeah, I told my friend that is the minister. He says, you know, he says, I've always known that God exists, and I've always known that the devil exists. He said, but to see them both virtually at the same time in the same room, it's like, that freaked me out. He said, but it restored my faith in God. And I'm like, I know. I said, you needed that. I said, God told me to bring you because you fear the dark ones. And you can't fear the dark ones and do his work. Do the work you want to do. He likes to help me out, go with me. I let him go with me and when I do removals, when he can. But he has health issues, so we kind of do it off and on. Most of the removals I just do from a distance. I've removed demons as far away as Australia, the Netherlands, the UK. It's just a matter of making the connection and killing them.
Isn't that true? It doesn't matter. Distance is it's not a problem at all. Yeah.
No, it's not a problem.
Not at all. Wow. So what do you suggest with the new investigator? Somebody like, okay, so I'm going to tell you this. And I think Jason's going to be mentioning this to you if we're going to have you on later on down the line. But Jason told me tonight mm-hmm. that he's starting again a new paranormal team. So
uh-huh.
what do you suggest somebody who is just starting out again, if they want to, as beginning paranormal investigators? What do you suggest?
I suggest that before you even do the investigation, that you do a prayer, ask for guidance, ask for protection before you go into any location. It doesn't matter whether you believe there's a negative entity or there or not. You ask for the guidance, you ask for protection. You do your investigation, and you ask that nothing negative be allowed to follow anybody home, that sort of thing. And then after it's over, you thank God for his help, and you go about your business. Because too many people do not bother to say a prayer or use any kind of protection. A lot of people will think, "Well, I'm wearing a cross. There's no, you can't. That won't protect you. You have to have the cross, the image of Jesus on it. It cannot be a abstract representation. It must be a lifelike representation." Or they'll wear crystals, and they'll think that will be protection for them. And it's like, no, that won't protect anything or anyone. And, some of the things that they try to use for protection is just beyond me. I don't know where they get these ideas from. Maybe it's old wives' tales or something. But always be hyper aware when you're investigating. And if you see what you think is like a negative entity, like a shadow person or something like that, or you feel something negative, do not acknowledge it. To acknowledge it is to make it turn around and see you. And you don't want them to see you. You don't want them to notice you. Unless they attack you. Most of the time they'll just be like moving around in the background and things like that. And you'll see them out of the corner of your eye or whatever. But the minute you say, "Hey, Harry, did you see that demon? Or did you see that shadow person?" That's all it takes. To acknowledge them is to make them see you. And then it's on. And it's not a good thing.
Wow. I think I want to be around the light, as much as possible with spirit and everything. That's why I really have a lot of admiration for you guys. And, you're risking your life, but also you're trying to save other people and just delve more into what's unknown. And you really, it's something that you want to prepare, like you said, making sure that you are protected and you're not just going to have all these trinkets and things like that. What's your take, June? What's your take on paranormal shows on TV? There's just a plethora of them there.
A lot of them are Hollywood. I don't like Hollywood. People will watch these shows, and then they'll want to go out and start their own paranormal group, and they'll think that it's just like the shows, but it's not. That's Hollywood's version of, paranormal investigating. You have either one or the other. I know for years they had that show on called Ghost Hunters, and I really didn't care for it because they didn't do anything to help the people. What they would do is they would go in and they'd say, "Oh yeah, we got some evidence. Goodbye." And the one show I did like, was Paranormal State, and with Ryan Buell. I don't care what anybody says. He did good work. He did help a lot of people. He would bring in a priest. He would bring in Lorraine Warren would work with him. Chip Coffey would work with him. He would bring somebody in. He would bring in counselors. He would bring in psychiatrists so that they could cover all the bases and make sure that, that it wasn't something mental, that it was actually paranormal.
Wow. Geez. Paranormal State, is that what you call it? The name?
Yeah, Paranormal State. Yeah, it was on. They even went to the Klondike one time, and out there in Astoria, they went to the Klondike. St. Helens. They went to the Klondike and investigated. It was kind of interesting.
Well, when I saw you were in Astoria, I saw the show on Ghost Adventures when you were featured there. Did you actually? You were on location, obviously. Did you actually stay in the hotel for? night or two, or you just dropped in, checked it out, got rid of him, and got the heck out of there? How did you do that?
Yeah, no, I didn't stay at that hotel because I was staying at one down on the bayfront. But, yeah, they wanted me when the producer said, now, don't take out any demons and wait until after the investigation tonight, you know, after we do the investigation. I thought to myself, yeah, right, not. Because this old demon, yeah, I didn't want to leave him hanging around in the physical plane of existence. So I removed him, but I told him, you know, but like I told my friends, I'm like, you know what, there's a lesser demon down there and some creepy crawly dudes. They can have fun with them.
So how long have they been having a problem at the hotel? How long has it been? Are the people afflicted too with that, with the problem before you took care of it?
Yeah, that it happens because it's a perfect storm. You know, you've got the bay there. There's a lot of shipping. This is underground stuff. They used to have, like, dog fights there, cock fights there. It's a shipping port. You know, a lot of prohibition, alcohol, stuff like that. There was a lot of negative stuff there that had gone on. So, you know, there's always these dark portals that the demons create, these dark portals that are doorways into our world. And so they're always, it's a perfect map for it. You know, it's a perfect place. They're always popping up all the time. I could spend my lifetime, you know, removing them from this place. It's the same with the Shanghai tunnels. It's exactly the same thing. I've removed them from the Shanghai tunnels 4 or 5 times. And I told them, I said, you know, I'm not going to do it again. I said, you need to stop the seances that are going on in the back of the tunnels. Until you
really?
Do that, you're never going to get rid of these things.
Wow, I didn't know that they were having seances.
Under that building, half of it belongs to the, you know, the Shanghai tunnel stuff. But the other half still has tunnels under it. And the owner of the building is letting people come in there and do their thing. You pay me money, and let you come in and do your thing. And
the
first time I went down there, I had never been there. I went down there, I said, did the walkthrough with the group, and then we went to the store, the little museum that was around the corner in the same building. And I asked the guy that was doing it, Jones, Michael Jones. He's passed since then. I asked him, I said, who's doing the seances? Somebody's doing seances under the building and bringing these things in. I said, because you got some demons in there. So that's why everybody's getting attacked. And he's like, I've never told anybody that. I said, you didn't have to tell me. I can see it. I see what's there. I see what went on. And evidently the owner wasn't doing it. So, you know, like I said, last time I removed them was about 2.5-3 years ago. I'm like, I told him, I said, that's it. You know, stop the darn seances and you won't have this problem. They don't listen.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. And the first time I've been under the tunnel, that was about 3-4 years ago. We went, had a, there was a Halloween event and there's a few people that you probably paranormal industry, we were all together doing an event there, and we went downstairs under Harvey's Comedy Club.
They opened up there's some more of the tunnels under there, and I haven't even been there, but when they told me they opened them, I'm like, there is a trap door type thing, I said, with a lock on it. I said, it's made out of wood, and I said, you do not ever want to open that up. I said, to open that up is to let the demons out. I said, don't ever open that up, because you'll be sorry. So I don't know if they've opened it up or not, but that was a few years back, and I warned them, don't be opening it, you'll be sorry.
That's crazy. Wow. So as a nurse, have you seen, you know, attachments and demons or anything like that on patients? And what have you done? Have you ever come across in your practice when you have them coming through?
Oh, I've come across maybe a handful in the private practice sector. There was a lot more in the hospitals. I worked hospital work. And that's why I got out of hospital work, because it's, you know, it was like nonstop, because it's their favorite place, nursing homes, care facilities, and hospitals, because people are gonna die. You know, that's just the way it is. And so they're there walking the halls looking for souls. That's not good. I got tired of doing that, and that's why I said, you know what, I'm no more hospital work. I'll stick with the clinic work.
Do you suggest not to go to hospital if you can help it? If you can help it.
Yeah. I was forever removing demons in hospitals. You know, now when, if I go to visit somebody or something like that, I have a tendency to, you know, not go and visit. Because there's so many demons there, you know. That's ridiculous.
There's too many head types there. Yeah.
Yeah, too many demons there.
I spend
my entire time talking, pretending like I'm talking to people, and ending up removing demons in my brain. You know, I do it all telepathically. So.
Wow. Jeez. Well, yeah, like I said, I have a lot of admiration for you. I it's not something I ever want to get into. I've been to a couple of paranormal investigations, and after that, I was wiped out. It took probably about 4 to 5 days, maybe even a week to recover.
Yeah. It drains a lot of people. I know there are people that won't go into a hospital or won't go to a graveyard or something like that. And it's not that I won't go to a graveyard. It's that I'd rather not, because they all come looking for me. I'm like, really? Give me a break. Because they know you're coming before you know you're coming. They always do.
Is it common for you to feel like you're drained and know you're just like you're zapped? Is that common when you go into places like that?
No, I don't have that issue. I have empathic abilities. I had them since I was young, but I turned them off because, you know, they're draining. And when you're dealing with demons, you can't be. When I go to a location, you know, the people are scared, the people are worried. I can't be picking up on that and having sympathy for it, because then if I do, the demons will attack the people while I'm there, and I can't have that. So I had to learn to shut that part of myself down, because if I didn't, you know, they would harm the people or the animals or what have you. So I don't let them through my shield. They can't drain me. I think the one time I was drained, I did like 8 demons in one location. But that one took me a couple of days to recover. But for the most part, I don't have any issues with it.
Good. Is that true that they sometimes pose as children?
Oh, yeah. They do. They pose as children. They'll pose as animals. They'll pose as somebody you love. But the way to tell is to look into the eyes. They can't disguise their eyes. That's the thing. If they're in possession of a human, the human's eyes turn black. But if they're, you know, showing themselves, disguising themselves as, you know, a friend or a relative, you have to look at the eyes, because the eyes will tell you whether it's a demon or not. I don't care. They can have all the right answers in the world when you ask them questions, because they'll pull that and they'll pull the answers out of your brain. But they can't disguise their eyes. They can never disguise that.
And the eyes will speak. You'll know by looking at the eyes already.
Yep.
There's something wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Either they're red or they're gold. Yeah.
Wow. And it's not reptilian either.
No.
That's a different story. When they're reptilian.
Yeah. Definitely.
Some different dimension is a totally different thing.
Jeez. Yeah, they prey on the weak people. They prey on the weak and the innocent people and the animals. And I'm a big animal advocate, so I have a tendency to make the demons suffer when they are attacking animals. I don't give them a clean death. I make them suffer.
You and I are on the same page. I am a big proponent in rescuing animals. I mean, when I saw that too, like I said, you and I are on the same page. When people abuse or neglect or anything like that, whether it's a dog, whether it's a sheep or whatever, I'm a big proponent in rescuing.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, because we're supposed to take care of the animal. We're not supposed to abuse them.
And we are their voice, absolutely. And when they do that, animals, I just can't believe how somebody can, that's just out of my realm. Totally.
Yeah, I can't handle it. I just want to rip them a new one.
Wow. Well, I know you can take care of them. But the main thing is we can do is tell their listeners or audience is that, just keep your faith strong, whether you believe in Buddha, whether you believe in God, Great Spirit, whatever, keep your faith strong.
Yeah, it is. You have to be strong and don't doubt and have faith in yourself.
And you don't have to go to church just so that it shows that your faith is strong.
Right. Yeah, because, it's like it says in the Bible, where one or more gathered in my name, there shall I be. You don't have to be in a synagogue. You don't have to be in a church. He did most of his sermons on the, out in the country, outside.
So I'm going to ask you really quickly, as a psychic, what's your take on this world? What do you think is going to happen? Do you think that, with coming down with people, having choices of whether they're going to get tested, whether they take the vaccine, people are losing their unemployment and all these other things. What do you foresee, June? What's your take on what's going to hold the future?
Well, I don't think it'll be till the end of the year that there'll be, that a lot of things will get a lot better. I just know that God told me a few months ago that over the next year that things were going to get better for light workers and their families and stuff, financially and health-wise, all that sort of thing. And a lot of people are feeling the shift already. They're feeling the shift and the difference in things. But a lot of people fear a shift, but it's a shift for the better, not for the worse.
That's good. Wow. Okay. So, that hopefully it's going to be good to do. Right now I'm just it's just so unstable.
Yeah, I'm going to be lecturing at a Paracon in the first weekend in October in New Mexico. So it should be interesting. I'll be on the second, third of October. I'll be speaking both days at the Paracon in Las Cruces, New Mexico.
Nice. What are you going to be talking about?
Yes. little known facts about demons and how they work.
Okay. Wow, that's wonderful. Well, if the time is up, and I don't want to talk. Off, we've been, you've been reading a lot, and I was reading a lot. Today is my day off. Yesterday was supposed to be my day off, but today is my day off, so I'm just kind of been vegging. But I just want to thank you, June. Really coming back to us, just really sharing your experiences and helping our listeners and what they can do and things like that. Is there anything else that you want to add or anything before we do this conclusion and end the episode?
No, I think I said enough.
Okay, well, thank you so much for your time and I want to thank Paranormal Horizons for the listeners for listening to tonight's episode. Go ahead and share the link. It's already on Paranormal Horizons. On the Facebook page, and if you have any questions, you can go and message us, and we can give you the link for June if she wants to, and get back to people. But Yes, I do refer people to Zoom, but only, and it's only when I really feel that the cases are real, not just somebody's crying wolf, I have a problem, and, you know, I just don't want to deal with people that are not doing the work to help themselves and things like that, because I know her time is valuable, and I want to really help people that are really, truly in need. So, again, June, thank you so much for your time, and thank you for being on Paranormal Horizons.
Thank you for having me. You take care.
Okay, you take care. Yeah, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
All righty.
Bye-bye. Okay, another week's ending with Paranormal Horizons. I hope everybody is fine. Everybody's in good health. Just, you know, take care of yourself. Keep your immunity as strong as possible. And next week, Jason and I are going to come back on. I hope he feels better. Jason, you know, we're going to send you our prayers, and we're going to hopefully feel better. But in the meantime, thank you for following us on Facebook on Paranormal Horizons. Give us a heads up, a like, and if there's anything that you want to talk about or any guests, go ahead and just message us, and I will definitely, Jason or I will definitely take that in consideration. So right now it's a meme page. I like to add a little bit of laughter and a little bit of joy. Nothing's personal. It's just something just to kind of, you know, add a little bit of lightness into the energy field. So in the meantime, until next week, hey, guys, thank you. Anybody wants to get a hold of me, I'm under Psychic Medium Sherry at C-H-E-R-I. Go ahead and give me a like. Follow me on Facebook. And you can get a hold of me also, too, on www.psychicmediumsherry, which is C-H-E-R-I.weebly.com. I am a practitioner in Chinese medicine. I'm a master in medical Qigong therapy. So anybody who would like to have a medical scanning, medical Qigong, I'm in the fourth branch in Chinese medicine, or psychic and or mediumship reading. If you're serious and want to get some healing, be able to, you know, just be guided or whatever, so get a hold of me, and I will get back to you in between clients. So in the meantime, until next week, take care, everybody, and I wish you love and peace. Bye.